Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Mindful Health Podcast. Today we have a good episode for you about foam rolling, whether you should do it, whether you shouldn't, what's it really doing, and kind of how you can use it to the best of your advantage and make the best out of what it is. I'm typically going to have a co-host on this show now, just so I can have someone to talk to versus me just talking. Today we're going to have Kyle Valencia on the show. He was one of my students back at Stanford University. He has since graduated and is a practicing physical therapy assistant. I've climbed with him a few times, and so he's going to be a co-host every once in a while, just to also give a different perspective, right? He's a newer grad. He may have different questions that he can ask and have a different perspective. So he will be on the show with us as well today. But like I said, we're going to be covering foam rolling and kind of my thoughts on that. Without further ado, though, we'll get into the episode. Okay, so Kyle, go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, hello. My name is Kyle. I graduated from Stanbridge Physical Therapy Assistant Program back in August of 2021. I have now finally passed all the boards and law exam. Took me two times on the law exam. Finally got that done about 2 weeks ago. So finally official licensed PTA. I work at Cal Rehab Sports Therapy in Fountain Valley, and I also work inpatient per diem at Newport Nursing and Rehab. I work in both the outpatient and inpatient setting, and I've been working for about 2 months.
Awesome. So Kyle is actually a student of mine when I was, I'm still teaching at Stanbridge University at the PTA program, which is Physical Therapy Assistant Program, but he has since graduated, so he's working now. So I've climbed with Kyle before, so he's just going to kind of be the co-host for today and maybe future episodes, so it's not just me talking. But we're just going to get straight into it. So we're talking about foam rolling today. So I just wanted to get started by asking Kyle if he foam rolls, or when does he do it for patients, or why does he foam roll, or what's his reasoning for foam rolling?
So I absolutely had no idea what foam rolling was at all until I worked as an aide at an outpatient clinic, and literally they prescribed foam rolling for everybody. So no matter what it was, I was teaching someone how to foam roll. And it was kind of funny in the beginning because I've never foam rolled before. So I'd be showing these patients these things, and I was like showing them. And I'd only show them for like two reps, because then I was like, oh man, that really hurts. But then like, as I went to school and started to ask questions, I was like, why is foam rolling even beneficial? And like, nobody can give me like a clear cut answer of like, you know, it's kind of like anything in therapy. It's like, does it work or does it not work?
It's always a maybe.
Yeah, it's always a maybe.
Depends on the situation.
Exactly.
And so do you have anyone foam rolling in the clinic that you work at now, or that you've prescribed foam rolling for?
The only time I ever use foam rolling is mostly if it's like to do the segmental, I don't even know how to say it.
Yeah, segmental mobility for the spine.
That's the only time I really do it. For the most part, whenever I try and get somebody on a foam roll, either it's too hard for them to get onto the ground to even initiate doing it, or once they start it and they're rolling out their IT band or their quads, they normally do about five of them and say, okay, no, this is not for me.
So if you had a patient, say like an athlete or something, who could easily get on the floor and they didn't mind the pressure, like I can foam roll on a PVC pipe and it doesn't bother me too much. So if you had someone like that, would you prescribe foam rolling and why?
Yeah, if somebody is an able body and they're able to do it, I would do it just so it would save time for me doing all that soft tissue work. Maybe they can do it on their own. It's a great way to get some independence, so they're not just always relying on me to work out their soft tissue restrictions. I'd say if they're able to do it and they can tolerate it well, sure, why not?
Well, that real quick is a good point that you mentioned there of not having your patients being self-reliant, because I think a lot of therapists do that where they're not really teaching their patient. They're just having them do whatever they want. So then they become, like you said, self-reliant on the therapist themselves. So when they get out of therapy, they don't even know how to fix themselves if it were to kind of come up again or something like that. So that's a real important point. So we're going to talk a little bit about foam rolling and kind of my opinions of it now.
All right, perfect.
So there is research that shows that to change fascia, especially for something like the IT band, which is just purely fascia, takes takes thousands of pounds of force. And they've done studies, and even on like scar tissue, which is really weakened tissue, our hands are not even able to produce enough force to cause even a 1% like change in that tissue. So a lot of people will just totally shit on foam rolling and say, don't do it, it's a waste of time, blah, blah, blah. There is times, so we'll start off when I will use foam rolling. So typically, I don't typically foam roll that much anymore. I used to occasionally, but I will occasionally if I'm sore, just because it feels nice and it kind of feels like you're able to move a little better afterwards, whether that's scientific or whatever, but it makes me feel better. So every once in a while, I will foam roll. The thing that foam rolling can do is, one, it's going to kind of desensitize that area a little bit, right? It's just getting used to it. Same for anything, right? You naturally just get used to something the more you do it. So that's one way it can kind of help with pain. Just over those typical areas, getting used to that pressure and pain. And then the other way is it's just an input. So if you've done, you can do this to your patients even. You can foam roll for 30 seconds, say like your hamstrings, foam roll for 30 seconds and then like try to touch your toes and it'll be better than it was before. So obviously you're not breaking up scar tissue or breaking up an adhesion with a piece of foam in those 30 seconds, right? So what'll happen is you just get inputs to the like brain. It's just sensory inputs, and that'll kind of open up a window. What I like to kind of say, it opens up a window of that new improved motion or feeling better. So what I'll typically do with foam rolling, if I do it, is I'll have them do that, and then I'll use that window to do things like load that joint, load the muscles, right? Actually do something in that time frame now versus you'll see people, they just foam roll every single day, and they foam roll every day because nothing's getting better. Right, they foam roll because it feels better temporarily. Then they foam roll again tomorrow because everything's back to the way it was. So typically, if you're going to foam roll, make sure you do something productive in that maybe like 30-minute window afterwards to actually make progressive and long-lasting changes, I would say. And that's kind of the main time that I'll use foam rolling, unless, like you said, you're using it as more of an object, not a foam roller, right? You're using it basically to bend your back over for segmental mobility, which is fine. The other thing that I get confused on, how it's not obvious that foam rolling doesn't break up adhesions. If you were to say, you watch football, right? Mm-hmm. I know you watch basketball. Okay, you watch football. If you were to say that foam rolling on a piece of foam can break up scar tissue or break up adhesions, what would happen to a football player when he is tackled by a 350-pound lineman at high speeds? His body would just fall apart. Right, so the concept of that foam or even our hands can cause a lot of like tissue changes or anything like that, I think is probably not ideal on what's going on. So like I said, I'll still use foam rolling. I think it's just important to don't go around telling your patients, oh, it's going to break up your scar tissue, it's going to do this and that. So I think that's where it gets a little iffy, is when people are kind of selling it as things that it's not, because then like you see, you have patients or people in general, athletes, that'll foam roll every single day, all the time. It's part of their warm-up. They'll spend 20 minutes, their warm-up, just foam rolling. And it's kind of a waste of time.
Unless they use, with the, like we were saying, the sensory input, and use it while has that new window, then that's when it's beneficial, is after you do some loading after. You're not just foam rolling just for the sake of foam rolling.
Yeah, so if you want to foam roll like your calves or something, right, your gastroc soleus area, I would definitely follow that up with like heavy eccentric heel raises, right, down to full range of motion. So then you're strengthening in that new range of motion that you have, you're stretching in that new range of motion that you have, your body, it's because you're using that new range of motion, right, your brain says, okay, we're using that motion, it's something that is beneficial for us, right? It's kind of the whole concept, you don't use it, you lose it. If you never go into a certain motion, why does your body feel like it needs to keep that motion? So there's that aspect to it as well. But most people end up, right, they just foam roll before every workout or anything. They're not doing anything productive afterwards. They're just using it as kind of like a crutch so that they can feel good enough to actually work out or actually do their sport type of thing.
I got you.
What would you say to that, Kyle?
Like, yeah, I mean, like I said, like I never foam rolled as an athlete. I never, when I played basketball, it was never something I ever thought about doing. I saw a couple friends do it that were volleyball players, but I never understood it.
Yeah, so I don't think foam rolling was even that popular back, or at least not when I was playing sports. I don't remember hardly ever seeing people foam roll, but maybe I'm from a real small town as well, so it just could also been not popular from that reason.
Yeah, but it definitely, like, I don't prescribe it too much in the clinic, and but now maybe after this conversation, I'll start to use it, and then definitely see like, oh, like did that. How do you feel? Do you feel better? Okay, they're telling me they feel a little bit better. All right, let's try and do like some loading to it and see if like you're able to if that's beneficial for you.
Yeah, I think the important, and this is for all things, not just foam rolling, is to understand the why behind why you're doing it, right? You shouldn't just do anything just because. And I think the other important thing is going back to the IT band thing, I never foam roll the actual IT band. Right, because you have muscles that attach to your IT band, which are your glute max and your TFL muscle. So if I'm going to work on someone with IT band syndrome, I'll actually have them foam roll those muscles if I'm going to do any foam rolling or soft tissue versus over the actual IT band, which is just a big kind of piece of fascia. There are some benefits some people say, I think it's kind of up in the air, but like that fascia can kind of get tied down, you know, quote unquote, to the vastus muscles, the quad muscles, that it kind of overlaps. So they say some foam rolling or soft tissue to those areas can kind of help, but I think it's just kind of up in the air. But I think the big thing is it should be relatively comfortable for your patient. If your patient looks like they're about to cry, probably teach them ways to unload it or not do it as, you know, yes, intensely.
Sometimes, because, like, I'll tell them, okay, if that's too much, like, do you have a rolling pin at home maybe? And you can, like, roll it out yourself and give your... Or like a PVC pipe where you can give that and put your own pressure to your tolerance if foam rolling is way too intense. Most patients will be like, oh, okay, cool, I'll try that. Or the tennis ball and where they put it on a wall. Sometimes a lot of people do that for like the scap because they get real tight between that area. It's just trying to find something that works, and if they think it helps and it's beneficial, then why not?
Yeah, I think the big takeaway, right? Pain has a lot to do with people's perception on if they're feeling better and whatnot. And there's a lot of therapists out there that'll, like, if there's no science behind it, they won't do anything. But if foam rolling is going to make my patient feel better and they're at least temporarily feel better, I'll do that so that then you can actually do some beneficial things in that time when they're feeling better. So I think it's not just like foam rolling is bad or anything's bad. It's more so the intent on why you're using it and how you're explaining it to why it's going to be beneficial to your patient.
Yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah. So I think it's going to wrap it up. Make sure you guys subscribe. And thanks, Kyle, for coming on and having a little conversation.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. See you guys next time.
Yeah.